Weekly conversation with Maitreya. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know the teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's, previous lectures, satsangs, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, discourses by Maitreya, God's words continuously, religious groups section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Salam everyone, welcome to our room. This week is the first week we have started our conversation 1 hour later. That is good that many people made it. We are hoping that many other people who can join our time can come here in the time that they couldn't come here before. And also, we'd like to know what is the best time to do this for everyone, and we will have the highest participation and also more people that can come and join us. So it's an experiment that any suggestions are welcomed to be sent to us, suggestions at maitreya.org, so we can know how you guys feel about it or see it to improve it and all that. I received an email last week from one of our members that he said he had a question about an experiment that had been done, and they're looking for a particle that they call it God particle, and they're trying to find this particle that attracts mass. By discovering it, they can identify which particle creates mass. Their example was if there is a crowd, everybody is talking to each other and are separated, but if a famous person enters the crowd, suddenly everybody gathers around that person. So that is how the particle that creates mass is able to do that. As we discussed and wrote in many places in though and in our writings and in satsangs and conversations, the problem with science is that they cannot go all the way to a spirit, to consciousness, to the creative force, the mind of God that has created all these things. That's why even in this state, they are looking for a particle that creates mass. Particle itself is created with something and has a mass, and therefore there is subtler or subtler things in the universe that has created that particle itself. Or a string theory, and everything is the strings, and it comes from the same source, and then they divide to different levels and create everything, and therefore they can explain the quantum physics and also the gravity and electromagnetic and all that theories and understanding that scientists are trying to explain and find a unified theory. Who created that string? Who created that God particle? That is where the scientist cannot go over. And that's what's the difference between the scientist and a mystic. A scientist is trying to find a particle, a mass, a creation. The mystic experiences God and proclaims that everything is created with the spirit and in our teachings with the consciousness and the three creative forces. The creative forces are the reason for any mass or particle that they can find that might be able to attack mass around itself and create greater mass, and eventually they create stars and have gravity and all that. But the scientists can't go beyond finding that particle. Actually, I'm surprised and delighted that they call that particle God particle. At least they eventually brought God to their material way of thinking and called that God. That's not even God. That's even created by God. If scientists go one step farther and say, we find that particle, but that one even is created, then they are not scientists anymore, because they cannot put consciousness and three creative forces under the microscope or go toward the accelerator and mash it and say, here it is, this is consciousness and these three gunas, we separated from each other, now we can see it, then we can explain it. That going beyond that point is where meditation and experience comes in. We have the perfect body and a spirit to have that experience, which even scientists cannot explain or experience. Scientists are like that five intellectuals that were in front of the mango tree, and they were explaining, if the root goes like that and it takes that kind of the water and mineral, mango should taste like this. And none of them agreed what the mango tastes like. And then a yogi was passing by and said, what are you guys doing? And they said, well, we're trying to figure out what the mango tastes like. He just picked up the mango and ate it and said, it tastes great. It's very sweet and nice. So that's the difference between a mystic, an experience with God, and an explanation. Explanation never will unify anybody and actually will separate them. That's why they have a string theory. They have unified theory, not quantum theory. God created that process to come to the point that he can create greater and more evolved beings until we as humans have the ability to meditate and experience God and turn around. He created the universe, created the supernova, created all the creation. It is great that they're calling that particle God. That's improvement. But we can never expect scientists to go beyond intellectual understanding of the universe. They shouldn't really. If they go beyond that, they no longer are scientists. They are mystics. No matter what particle they find, no matter what explanation they give, eventually each individual have to experience God. And when you experience him or her or it, then whatever scientists finding, you will see, well, that's a part of what I had experienced and God created it. Therefore, scientists are okay, but they don't have all the answers, and they never will find all the answers, because there are things that they cannot prove in the laboratory or under the microscope. That was a great question. Actually, I appreciate you gave me a week to read the article and meditate on that, and so come up with the answer I gave. I hope that answers that question. If you have a follow-up, always you can go ahead, add to it, or ask question about it. That leads us to the next topic, to see the vision. One of the problem probably in plan of God is people love God, they like to know Him, they like to help Him or serve Him, but they haven't really seen the vision or had experienced it, and therefore the ego is still present, and they do not really feel that dedicated as an individual that is self-motivated to serve God with no expectation or any personal or individual will or anything that human use to maneuver or create in a situation that they have control or power or the ability to serve without expectation or detached from it. Therefore, I request everybody to have a vision quest. You truly go and have a quest for vision. Let God give you the vision of this mission and how this will help you to experience God and eventually become a 100% light worker, with no expectation or false finding or anything that will make you not stay to the end. Because if you have the vision and you have seen and experienced God, you have no choice but stay to the end, and you will manifest great things. You know them by their fruits. And those who stay to the end will be saved. It's very simple. It's two sentences that gives a lot of instruction. Therefore, let's everybody meditate on the vision quest. It is an American Indian word. Actually, when the child would become in the age of puberty, they would send him to the mountain for a vision quiz, and he is not supposed to come back unless he did have the vision. Then he would be mature and accepted as a part of the adult population, and they'll become a warrior or whatever that tribe would honor. So he would receive the honorable place. It's still truth. That's why those who have experience with God, they become saints. They become great powerhouse. They become great spiritual outreach to humanity. Also, we have many priests. We have very few compared with the priests as saints. Also, we have many Sufis. We have very few Sufis that they have experienced the unity and had jumped of joy and said, "An Allah, I am God. Me and the Father are one." Of course, they can't say Father because Muslims say God is not Father. But as we know, He is both Father, Mother, and Son. This cannot be separated as the consciousness, creative force, and the Messiah. They're all one. There is no separation between them. Therefore, this is the time we are calling people to have that experience, this teaching and all the rituals, and everything has been given to you to go, to meditate, to ask for a vision quest, and eventually experience the unity with God, and therefore we will not have religions and separation and argument and destructive tendencies that is common in human and on earth. This is a new wine in a new skin. This is the call to those they want to have that unity, and if they have that unity, then we are one. Then we work together as one, and we can create the communities of light, at least the facilitating body to reach to humanity to create the communities of light. But human nature is against everything that God sends to man. That's why after a while they changed the word of the prophet and the scriptures to a simpler way, and they create dogmas and separate themselves from each other and create disunity and destruction. And they believe so much in what they do that they have no interest to know the other people's way, and maybe they have also something to contribute what they already know, or at least come close together. So experiencing God and becoming one bring that unity between us all. Otherwise we are separated ego, and we are going to have the same problems that they have out there. This mission is going to end up becoming another religion that believe in a couple of dogmas, and that's it. If you don't believe in dogma, we cut your head off, or we do not accept you, or we shun you, or we just believe in a couple of things, and that's it. We're going to have another religion. But of course, God said it's not going to happen to this one, because those who eventually will come forward and manifest God will follow this advice and go and experience the unity with God, and when they come and we work together, we work in unity and harmony and understanding and love and ability to see that what God has done is incredible. Actually, the love of God is unimaginable for a human. That's why they reject that love, because they cannot understand it. So, let us all go for a vision quest. Let us all meditate on the universal mantra. Let us all dance with Hari Om Shri Hang, Om Nam Kevalam. Let us gaze on the greatest sign, know the eternal divine path. Let us wrap ourselves in God and His revelation. It is not an easy work in this amazingly cruel and crude earth. We are not saying that quit your work or life and wrap yourself into this and become an escapist, but do as much and as often as you could. So hopefully eventually we will see, and they will see the vision and come together. So this is a request put on the table that we all concentrate on that. We started the teaching of the whole revelation and what have come to the mission. We went through the verses in Genesis, how creation was created, how the first begotten Son of God or the Spirit of God went through the eternal divine path, and there was light, and God said this is the way to turn this darkness back to my body. And he created the universe in a evolutionary process. He created the elements, he created the gases, he created supernova and created heavier stuff in the universe, and planets, and animals, and trees, vegetations, water, and eventually man, and he made them man and woman, and he made more than one, he made them. Therefore, human was man and woman in the same body, and they were alone, all one. God decided still they are too powerful, too detached. He split them to man and woman. Woman has attraction for higher self. And because of that, they failed, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which means that I know better than God. Really, that's what it means. I don't want to listen to God. I know better than God's revelation, the scriptures, the prophets, Messiah. I know better. God said, don't do that. If you do that, you're going to fall from grace. But the lower nature came and said, oh yeah, maybe he doesn't want you to become God. So they failed and they became God by believing they can replace God's revelation and word. And eventually, of course, we reached a point and we've been in the point that man became so gross that he created body. They didn't have any body until in the verse in the Bible that God created coat of a skin for man. Before that, they didn't have any skin, they didn't have any flesh. They were mostly a spirit and consciousness. In that moment, they became so gross and fell that God created the coat of a skin for them. But man continued sinning and killing and going against God's words. But some of them reached higher consciousness and pure consciousness as Enoch. God took him. If you study the verses in the Bible, he said he begot this son and he got all these children and he died. Then his son also begot children and he died. But when you come to Enoch, it says he walked with God and God took him. So we can say that Enoch was the first who reached pure consciousness. He became one with God. He became a son of God. Of course, there was a first begotten son already. And now Enoch and maybe others. So that is the goal, to walk with God. How can you walk with God if you don't let the Spirit of God come through? Not intellectually, but you have experienced the Spirit of God, and therefore the Spirit of God is in you, and you know what He wants, and you do His will, and therefore you walk with God. So Enoch was taken by God. He reached pure consciousness. I have to explain also that if you have any question about our teachings, and if you have been on our website, and you have studied our teachings, and you have a question, you can either type it in the text, or you can raise your hand, and we can discuss it. This room basically is to discuss the teachings. Many lectures have been given, many writing is written, and it's now for everybody to go study them, and if they need further questions like Lou has, can we say the same thing for Elijah? Elijah wasn't taken by God. Elijah was taken with a machine or something that wheel in wheel that came and took him to sky. If that machine is a symbolic meaning for him to go to God, then he might have this pure consciousness. One thing for sure, he was a great soul and very high soul. That is why he came back as the John the Baptist. He was incarnated as the John the Baptist, as the forerunner for Christ. So it's really an individual choice to accept him as being with God, or he was a very high soul, came as the forerunner for Christ. But he surely wasn't in the estate of Christ, as he himself said, "I'm not worthy to untie his shoelaces." So he knew that the state of Christ was way, way ahead or above him, but he might have been the Son of God. So it's something that you can think about it and come up with some ideas, but at the final analysis, really, it's not that important, because the most important thing is that he was the reincarnation of John the Baptist. Christ said it. The Pharisees wanted to find out if he is. Therefore, he is a loud example of reincarnation being truth and being in the Bible. And the Bible is the base of all scriptures, and God wrote the Bible as a guiding light or a map for man to realize all the revelation of God have come by different prophets, and each of them have a specific truth for human, and if you put them together, you see the whole picture. If we're trying to find who was the Son of God and Tuken, it's going to be a very hard thing to do, and we might make a mistake. Even if he wasn't in pure consciousness, he might be now. He might return as a person who have become close to God, but he could have been only an elect. And therefore, he realized that his station is where he claimed to be. I hope that answered your question. But the most important about his life was that he came as the harbinger for Christ. He became reincarnated as the John the Baptist. And therefore, there is reincarnation. It's in the Bible. Right there is telling everybody he was the reincarnation of Elijah. How can he come back in the womb and not being reincarnated? You can explain the way you want, but with all their attempt to take the reincarnation off the scriptures, they did not succeed. And therefore, even Christians and Jews and Muslims and all the Judeo-Christian, Islamic, Baha'i people should realize this. The scripture that their revelation is based is accepting reincarnation. And therefore, Hindus are not wrong. Buddhists are not wrong to believe in incarnation. If that's true, then we have been reincarnated many, many times in many different bodies and cultures and different places of the world. We are different because we had had experiences, and now we are in a higher consciousness. We are here for a purpose, for a reason, to accomplish that reason. That makes more sense, that the elects have been working on themselves, and they have been prosecuted, crucified, worked hard to come close to God, and now in this revelation, they see the truth, and they come together and say, yes, this makes sense, we have to create the compass of light, I will go for the vision quest, I will see the vision of God in this revelation. I will become a pure channel for God. I will forget about my ego and my wants. Of course, because they're in a higher consciousness, they are kind of a leader themselves. And therefore, I am calling leaders, and leaders have a hard time to follow another leader. But they eventually have to realize that that is the only way we can unify all these together, if we focus in one center. And if there is two centers, three centers, four centers, this body will split to many, many centers, and destruction will come to it. That's why Christ is the heart of the hierarchy. Actually, Christ is the God particle that creates the mass. Christ is the God particle. He comes, and everybody who is attracted to that center evolved around that center and create a mass. And when we reach the critical mass, the earth will come to realize that there is a new revelation, there is a new teachings that explains everything from science to the lowest activity of human. And the more human accept that and evolve around that center, the greater unity will come to them. And they become very similar in their belief. They no longer are Westerners or Easterners or Southerners or Northerners. They all will follow the eternal divine path. They will accept their incarnation. They will see the hand of God in science and evolution. There is no separation between what God created and what scientists have discovered. Indeed, whatever scientists discover is what already God created. There is no separation between them. If we separate religion or God from science, then we become dogmatic again, and we become fundamentalist, and we become unhappy in a situation that most of the logical people see God as a logical being that created the whole universe in a evolutionary way. Lou is asking, since God took Enoch, if he were to be reincarnated, would he come back as a human? Yeah, there are three kinds of reincarnation that occur in the people that are close or in pure consciousness. Those who reach that state of pure consciousness in this lifetime and they experience God and oneness, they can go in and be done with their karma. But God says, no, go back, you have to do a mission, you have seen me, now go and tell everybody else. Just like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Everybody was fighting over the food. They were scratching each other's face for scraps. He was flying faster and faster and getting injured and breaking his wing, and his parents were upset with him, and all the tribe eventually excommunicated him, but he didn't give up. And eventually he flew with the golden seagulls and saw the master of the golden seagulls, and he realized sharing not as a good idea but as the law. If we share, then we don't have to scratch each other's face. But we can share with each other and everybody have enough. The energy which is spent scratching each other's face can be used for a greater utilization of life. Then he came back and said, don't fight for the scrap. Don't scratch each other's face. Let's fly faster, fly higher. And I have seen it. It is a better place than this. Of course, still he was communicated. The tribe didn't want him to preach and change the young and children to his preaching. But little by little, few of the young and old realized his words. I said, okay, we want to fly with you. And he taught them to fly faster and higher, and eventually they also saw the golden seagulls. So when that person reaches pure consciousness, God said, you can come in, go back, and tell other people, you can become unified by God. God is everything, is the whole universe. The vision of God is millions of times more loving than you ever could experience of any love on earth. Actually, they don't understand the love of God. They judge it with their ego, and that love doesn't penetrate on the ego because ego feels it's losing the battle. And ego fights back and say, no, it's your fault that I don't experience God or whatever. So that person comes and preach and tells people you can go to God. And eventually, little by little, few become attracted and they come and join and they fly higher and faster and eventually they experience God too. Say, yeah, I experience God. Not I experience prana or power or I can bend the fork. Those are toys God throw at you not to get to him. But then you experience the oneness and unity and love of God, that is the highest. That's what you need. You actually forgo powers and cities and healing power and this and that. You want to be one with God. If you experience God, you will be pushed out to come back and join the work. What is the reason for creating this creation? Remember, there was darkness in the deep. God didn't like it. Something happened to his body. There was darkness. They were not in pure consciousness with him. They were not in harmony as they used to. Something happened to that part. God said, let's go see what's happening there. The Spirit of God moved over the water. Water consciousness. He looked at the darkness and said, wow, we should work and go to the eternal divine path. So we are here to help others also see the eternal divine path and implement it. In this lifetime is the explanation. Hopefully the next lifetime is going to be implementation. And the life after that is going to be the execution. So that is one way those people who reach pure consciousness come back. There are some terms that has been used as the man-God, who have been man, reaches pure consciousness and come back. Then that person dies, God take him, just like Enoch. Then if he is reincarnated, God sent him back for a reason or purpose. That person is already in pure consciousness. He didn't reach pure consciousness in this lifetime. He reached it in previous lifetimes. That is the term a lot of people use as avatar. Avatar is the person who has already been in pure consciousness. Of course, a lot of people take that name on themselves. I'm avatar. But you know by their fruits. Are they in the mission? Are they one with the mission? Are they working to create the communities of life? Are they realizing this revelation is from God? If they are, and we are working together to manifest this vision, then you might be an avatar. You might be in pure consciousness, and you have returned. And of course, there is the major manifestation, Messiah, Prophet, the Messenger of God, with many names, who is the full manifestation of the Spirit of God, which brings a message to humanity, and he just doesn't come. He comes with the clear signs, prophecies. And God said there is going to be the seventh one, which will reveal the whole truth. And the mystery of God will be finished. Therefore, there are three levels of being incarnated from pure consciousness. The God-man, avatar, and Messiah, major manifestation, with many names. Shirin is asking, Christ, God, particle, nucleus in any atom. So could Alex be attracted like electron to the center? Exactly. That is why we are here. That's why we're preaching to everyone. That's why some people come to this room or to our other rooms. They stay. They see the vision. They go to the website. They love it. They like it. They come, join, help. And if they stay to the end, if they recognize and realize and go for the vision and see that indeed it is from God and the truth, what's more important in life than fulfilling the purpose and the reason that this creation has been created? Is there anything higher than fulfilling the will of God? The will of God has clearly said in the very beginning of Genesis that there was darkness. The Spirit of God went to it. And then He created the creation. He said, let there be light. He said, let's bring light to this part of creation which is darkness. So His Spirit goes through the struggle with this darkness, and eventually when He goes through the eternal divine path, and there was light. He sees the light, and it could be helpful to creation. That's why the eternal divine path, this is not again a good idea. That's the purpose and reason for the whole creation. And if you are an elect, you see this vision, and you will be attracted to the center, to the unification, and by being attracted to the center 100%, and nothing is more important than being one with the center and bring other people one with the center, and not my will, but God's will and the word of Messiah or the teacher or revealer, then little by little, your ideas become God ideas. Therefore, we don't have to struggle. We are dancing in the light. And the light is the delight of life. And when we experience that delight, we want nothing else. As Christ said, it's just like finding a land with a great treasure in it. You sell everything. Everything you have to buy that land. If you experience God, then this world and this Maya become pale, just like a candle in front of the sun. Then you have seen the sun. You have experienced God, and working with Messiah become a joy and a great unity, not a struggle. Yes, indeed. Elects will be attracted to this mission. That's why I'm looking for elects who are attracted to this mission. They do not struggle with me. They are self-motivated. They manifest great things, fruits, and they say to the end, simple. My work is very simple. And if you are not exactly that what the church explained, then there will going to be a struggle. You will see probably me as the biggest ego trip person you have ever seen. But there is no ego. And those who know me eventually profess that I'm not an ego trip. But those who have ego, of course, see me as big ego. Claim is great. Claim is beyond human understanding. But also that claim has been backed up with everything anybody wants to know that is the truth that God sent to man. Therefore, I am waiting patiently for those who have these qualities. It used to bother me, people would come and their ego get in the way and they will fall off. And I tried hard to not to let them fall off. But eventually I realized that it's not up to me. It's between them and God. My work is to come here and preach and say the truth, reveal the revelation, ask the elects, consider to go, become one, at least realize that they are pretty close, and come and give fruit. Be self-motivated. They're not motivated if I give them any attention or not. Their attention comes from within, and God manifests their quality with the quality of what they do, and it shows the state of their being, detached they are from the work they do for the mission. Because if you do something for the mission and you're attached to it, you are not letting God come through. So it is a call for everybody to see this revelation that God said He's going to send him. He's going to send the seventh major revelation. He's going to send seven major manifestation. He's going to send seven angels. And only at the time of the seventh revelation or angel, the mystery of God will be finished. It means no one knows the mystery of God. No one knows the whole truth until the seventh revelation comes. Now, tell it to Muslim. Tell it to Christian. Tell it to Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, Baha'is. Look, you have only 1/7 of this revelation. You don't have the whole truth. You have to forego your dogmas and ego. But we have to be extremely patient and proficient and dedicated to be able to distribute, to preach, to reach to every opportunity that God gives us, so we can educate humanity and create the critical mass that we need to most desirably, peacefully bring this earth to peace and unity based on God and God's Spirit. There is no other way that unity and peace can come unless it's based on God and the Spirit of God and the unity that we all can have together by being one with God. It is true about the couples. It is true about the community. It is true about a city. It is true about the nation. It is true about the whole universe. If they are one with God, they can become one. Therefore, we need visionaries. We need the elects. We need those who really experience God and go for this quest. The quest of experiencing God and becoming one with the Spirit and then realizing these teachings. Not just reading it and even not knowing the teaching and proclaiming that you should be treated as an elect. You have to know the teachings. Otherwise, after a while, we're going to have a few dogmas left in the mission. Forget about the comments of God. It's too hard. It is too hard on my ego. I don't want to let God come through. I want to be thanked all the time. whatever I did, I want to be pat in the back and say, you did a good job. Actually, that is the teaching of business. You have to motivate people. You have to thank them. You have to create an environment that they feel good and be motivated. Why I want to let God come through and I don't get any credit, you mean? And I'm not appreciated, I'm not praised. God didn't do it, I did it. That's ego there, isn't it? So the whole business based on ego. That's why elect, their praise and worthiness doesn't come from external. It comes from within them. They know they are worthy because they have the vision of God, and now God coming through them, and therefore they are one with God, and they know it's not them. They couldn't even imagine to accomplish what they have accomplished in one lifetime. It's impossible for ego to accomplish that much. But for God and Spirit, it's not. So if you want to be more, manifest great things, manifest God, and be self-motivated, become an elect. Become a child of God. Go for the quest of the vision. Study our teaching. Know what are we talking about here. We have it in Spanish, we have it in French, we have it in English. We are open to any other language anybody wants to translate it to. But we always say, learn English. The revelation have come in that language. That language has been influenced with many other languages. French is influenced with Arabic, and Hebrew and Arabic are from the same root, and English and French and German and all those are influenced with Latin. So English is influenced with both Latin and Arabic and the Jewish language. Now God sent this revelation in English. That is where you get the best information. Therefore, indeed, we are looking for this elect, but of course, world is so different than what we teach. And those who are able to see this vision and detach themselves from the world and become a part of the facilitating body has to be pretty great souls. Organo is asking, it seems that our weaknesses are reflected sometimes in the people we choose in business to help us. It's as if we are being shown we have to deal with many issues as we grow. That is very, very good observation indeed. We attract people that we are not aware that are our weaknesses. As I said in the beginning, in the mission, I used to hold people up. Of course, some people argue that they hold themselves up, but at the same time, it became very obvious to me that the motivation has to come from within, and they have to be people that they are not escapists or looking for escapism or an environment that they are supported with other people or need attention all the time. But they're self-motivated. It comes from within. They do it because they want to. And they have no expectation because they know God is doing it through them. So now we're attracting probably other kind of people that they are more in tune with that kind of a calling, and therefore that belief in the beginning as it changes, the people who will come to the mission are going to also change. And God said it, the first will be the last and the last will be first. Or just like Christ said, the ones that came in the ninth hour and worked whole day, and the other ones came for 5 hours, and they came for 3 hours, and they came for 1 hour, all got the same Emma, they got to pure consciousness. The wages was the same. It's not that I was the first here, therefore I'm going to get more. That's what they thought. The people who work harder all day. No. The wage is the same. It's pure consciousness. So therefore we have to meditate on ourselves and see our weaknesses and see how our perception can attract or influence the things happens around us. And little by little get rid of those parts that attracts that kind of a mentality and people we work with. That's why in business they have created interviews, they have created questionnaires. They test you to see what kind of weaknesses you have, and they are getting pretty good at it. They really turn you inside out, and they know a lot about you that you probably don't know about yourself. Go ahead, Amina.
Salam, Maitreya. This is the question I have. What is the best practice for people who feel God's love more when they're with animals and children, but really have a struggle with feeling God's love or manifesting that love when they're with adults? Thank you.
It's easier to love children. As Christ said, you have to become like children to enter the heaven. Actually, children are in heaven when they are born, and they are still detached from their body for the first 5 years, and they do not have ego. That is why really they are masters, and they can teach their parents a lot. That's why the children become a teacher, and parents learn from them a lot by their growing up. When they are 5 years, they create ego. The ego is not completely formed until they are 13. 13, it is not completely cut off 13. Some children become more mature in 11 or 12 and some later. That's what they call them, teenagers. The ego start forming individuality and they become assert themselves as adults. That was the problem between the parents who had control over the child. Start because the child is trying to become independent ego and parents want to keep him as a little child that they loved before. So it's easy to love children, and also animals, their consciousness is not as evolved as human. They have very simple needs, food and shelter, and if you provide it for them, they will be very appreciative. They don't have to go out there and fight dogs or cats for scraps, and you become a source of food for them, and also comfort and love. They have ability and been created to help human, and therefore, again, because their ego is not as evolved as the adults, we love them or become attached to them in a greater degree because they don't oppose us, they don't have opinion and ideas which is different than ours. They just follow what we say and they do whatever we want. They will love them. But then they become adults, the problem starts between parents and teenagers. Teenagers now have their own opinion, their own ideas. They no longer follow the ideas of their parents. And that is one of the problems for the whole humanity, because we have different ideas, we have different opinions, we have different way of doing things, and therefore we don't like each other. Couples, they get married and the wife thinks she's going to change him to whatever she wants, and he thinks he's going to change her to whatever he wants. It does not going to work. Again, our teaching comes in. If both of them are godly and considered on God, not on each other, they can love the essences in one another and become one. It's easier said than done. I understand that. Everything I say is easier said than done. But that is the truth. That's what that separation between couples start, and they eventually end up to a place that they cannot even stand each other in many marriages, and that's why we have so many divorces. You can see, you know, children, they just get along and click and work and play because they're closer to God and they're one. So we have to create an environment that everybody concentrate on God and become united in that higher consciousness and bring His will to our lives and look at each other as the essence of God. And if there is a separation between opinion, then say, let's see what God's opinion is in this situation. What is His idea? So more and more people are going to have a God opinion, and they become closer and one, and then you start loving adults as you love children. I will go ahead and end our conversation here. This conversation will be broadcasted probably tomorrow morning, and you can go and listen to it. Invite other people, come and listen. Find their lects and go for the vision quest. Salam everybody. Have a godly week.